Morning. Today's daf in Yevamos daf Samech Aleph. We are on Samech Amud Aleph, and we are continuing the discussion of Kohanim and who they can and cannot marry. We discussed yesterday the definition of Chalal. What is the Chalal a product of? Certainly, if there's an Isser Lav between a man and a woman, between a Kohen and a woman, So the resulting child is going to be a chala. Chala simply means halal, meaning he's devoid of any kedushas kahuna. We are going to continue in the Gemara. We are right in the middle of the Amud. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daftaf of Lunga Zech and Ishmael Lupin Zaltzman. Inside, Tana Rabbanan. Okay, it's a little bit beyond the halfway point of the Gemara. Achoso Arusa. Okay, we know that the Kohen can only come into contact with Tumah with a limited number of people, meaning that generally speaking, the Kohen is Muzar on Tumah. Kohen can't come into contact with Tumah. For anyone not a Kohen, for Yisrael, for Levi, so there is no Isser per se of coming into contact with Tumah. That would be fine, especially if it's involved in the Tahara, if you're involved in the in purification of a body, but generally speaking, there's no problem with that. The only problem for Yisrael would be if you're tumming, you walk into the base of Mikdash, and that's not a problem, that's an Isser. But as far as the Kohen is concerned, Kohen has a separate Azara not to come into contact with the Tumah. However, the Torah says that if any one of the family members die, so then he can be Metami for the family members. We are going to be discussing now the nature of the Heter regarding the Kohen and his sister. So Tana Rabbanan Achos Arusa. The Torah says that it's a Achos Arusa. I'm sorry, not yet. Achos Arusa. Let's say it's a sister who's not married, but is Mikudeshes. Okay. If she was married, Pashat, then it would be obvious. Because once she's married, so then the Kohen no longer has an ability to be Matame for her. Her husband is going to be the one responsible for burial. So the brother no longer is responsible for burial, and therefore has no legitimate right to become Tame for her. So the question over here the Gemara is asking is that she wasn't married, but she went through Erusin. So now, does the Kohen have a legitimate right to become Tame for her? So Achos Arusa, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Amrim, Mitame La. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Amrim, Ein, Mitame La. Okay, so Machlokas amongst the Tanaim. On one side of the Machlokas, we're going to put Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and they say that he can be Mitame for her, whereas Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say, Ein, Mitame La. Anusa Mafuta, Devar, Kolei, Mitame La. Umukareit, Ein, Mitame La. Devar, Rabbi Shimon. So, the Gemara in explaining this. If she was an anusa or a mefuta, so according to everybody, ain mitame la, for reasons which the Gemara later on will explain. Mukar eitz ain mitame la. And if she was mukar eitz, meaning that she was no longer besula, so once again, ain mitame la, div Rabbi Shimon's opinion, shayi Rabbi Shimon Omer, ru'i la kohen gadol mitame la, shim ru'i la kohen gadol mitame la. Because Rabbi Shimon sets the mark in terms of what entitles him to be metame for her, it has to meet the qualification of Ru'i L'Kohen Gadol. Ru'i L'Kohen Gadol means she has to be a besula. Once she no longer is a besula, or there's a deficiency in her besula, like we discussed in yesterday's daf, right, where once a woman becomes a bulgaris, there's a little bit of an effacement of her besulim, and she's no longer fit for a Kohen Gadol. So once she's no longer a besula, fit for a Kohen Gadol, so her brother no longer has the ability to be metame for her. Bogeres metame la divrei. I'm sorry, ein metame la. Bogeres metame la divrei kol adam. So and as far as a bogeres is concerned, you can be metame for her. Now the now that seems to be right. Huh?
Even though she's not devoted.
So that seems to belie the position in the Gemara that we just said. Meaning, we just got done saying in the Gemara that if she's fit for Kohen Gadol, so then you can be Metame La. But if she's not, then you can't. Then the brother can't be Metame for her. And then the Bryce ends up saying, oh, by the way, she's a Bulgaris, so according to everyone, so he can be Metame for her. Well, that's not, it shouldn't be true. Once you're a Bulgaris, according to some opinions, she no longer can marry Kohen Gadol. Okay, so a lot of explaining to be done in this Braisa. My time under Rameir of Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, so let's start off with the opinions of Rameir and Rav Yehuda. Remember, the Braisa started off by that according to Rameir and Rav Yehuda, if she was an Arusa, so that means that she's not yet married, she's not yet, she's married. but she's no longer, she's not yet fully married, she's not in a stuwa, she's just in a rusa. So both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and the Braisa say that he could be metamed, the brother could be metamed for her. Why should that be? So the Gemara goes on to explain. Okay, so we're going to do a series of drashas. Okay, these are, again, all psukim from Parshas Amor. So her achosa besula, the virgin sister. So pralanusa mafuta. So that means that if she's not a virgin, i.e., even if she was nanas, even if she was mafuta, even if she was seduced, nevertheless, she's no longer besula. Yachoshani motzi av mukareitz. What about mukareitz? Mukareitz, also she no longer is a besula. Tamalam rasher lo yisala ish. Misha avyasa yede ish. Yatzazushen avyasa yede ish. Okay, so mukareitz is not excluded. A brother Kohen can be metame for his sister, even if she was a mukareitz, even though she doesn't have her besulim. But in vis-a-vis the halacha of tumah, so he only is excluded from being metame for her if she was beulas ish. Mukareitz, she's not beulas ish. Hakrova, back to the pasuk, lerabos ha'arusa. Krova means that she's close, meaning close to marriage. Erusin. And elav lerabos abogeres. And finally, the word elav is that's coming to include a bogeres that he can be metami for his sister as a bogeres. Okay. I don't know. So, okay, I hear you. It's good. It's fair. I don't know. So halam lekravam a Rabbi Meir besula afilu mixas besula mashma. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Meir, I don't quite follow. Remember yesterday's daf, Rav Meir says, what the word besula by itself, what's the default setting of a besula? Even mixas besulim, even partial besulim is still considered besula. So if that's true, so then I don't need a drasha for Rabbi Meir. It's der sakadach amina nail besula besula me'asam alahala na'raf kan naminara. So the Gemara says, well, I might have thought that just like over there, the word besula speaks specifically about a nara, so too over here, the only sister that a kohen can be metame for is not only a besula, but a besula who also happens to be a nara. So kamash malan. So the Gemara says that's a chiddush. That in this regard, in the halacha of becoming metame for one for a kohen sister, doesn't have to be a nara. V'Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, my time, mayu the darshi achi. So the Gemara says, okay, now we turn to the opinions of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yosef. They say that for a Kohen sister who's an Arusa, he cannot be Matami for her. Why should that be? So they're going to darshan the pasuk differently. Ulachosa besula pralanusa mafuta. Okay, so we start off the same. That when the Torah says besula, that means that if she was either an Arusa or she was a mafuta, he, the Kohen, cannot be Matami for her. Umukad eitz asher lo aisa prala. Umukad eitz asher lo aisa prala rusa. So the Let me do it correctly. Pra'la nusa mafuta mukareitz. Okay, sorry. So the so if she lost her besulim, and the way that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi darshaning, the word besula is excluding either a woman who was raped, seduced, or lost her besulim because of a simple accident. Asher lo isa prat la'arusa. She was not, meaning that excludes an Arusa. Because an Arusa had an Havaya. She was married to a man through Kiddushin. Hakirova, Larabas Arusa Shinis Garsha. And the word Hakirova means that she went through Erisin. She got a divorce, so the Kohen brother would be allowed to be Matami for her. She's still a Basula because she only went through Erisin. She's not Uresis to another man. She got a divorce, so the Kohen can be Matami for her. A love, the rabbis is a bogeres. And finally, the last word in the pasuk, a love, is coming to include a bogeres. Hakarova, the rabbos, arusa, shenis garsha. So the Gemara says, now the word hakarova, what happened? We darshan that to include the arusa who went through a divorce. So the Gemara says, v'amar Rabbi Shimon, ru'uy l'kohen gadol metamei l'Hashem, ru'uy l'kohen gadol metamei la. So the Gemara says, okay. This is contradicting Rabbi Shimon's general position, which is that the brother Kohen can only be metami for his sister if she's fit to marry Kohen Gadol. If she underwent a divorce, even though the divorce comes from Erisin, like we learned yesterday's daf, she's not fit to marry Kohen Gadol. Truth be told, she's not allowed to marry any Kohen. Fine, but still, how can Rabbi Shimon then allow the brother to be metami for her? So, ein metami la shani asam de Rabbi Rachmana. Krava. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Generally speaking, he cannot be Matami for a woman that's not fit for the Kohen Gadol. But in this particular case, where she goes through Erusin and then she has a Gerushin, so we have a special limud. Ihachi Mukadetz Nami, Rabbi, so the Krava. So the Gemara says, okay, why don't we say the same thing about Mukadetz? So the Gemara says, Achas Velo Shtayim. So the Gemara says, no, it's only one ribuy, not two ribuyim. Meaning the word Krava can only include one Chidush, not two Chidushim. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have a choice now of including one woman who generally would have been excluded. Either the Mukadetz or the woman who went through Erusin and then went through Gerushin. And the choice that the Brisa / Rabbi Shimon made is that we're going to include the woman who went through Erusin and Gerushin and not include the Mukadetz. Why should that be? So the Gemara gives a very simple explanation. We saw a version of this explanation earlier. Ha'asavid be'maisa, lo savid be'maisa. Because when it comes to the Mukadesh, she actually went to physical change. She underwent an actual physical change, and so therefore she is to be more excluded than the woman who went through Erusin and Gerushin, because Erusin and Gerushin, there was some money exchange, there was some paperwork exchanged, but she herself physically has not went and undergone any change. She only went through Erusin, she didn't have beer with her husband, and so therefore the Bryce is ready to include her. So now the Gemara notes that when we get to the Mukadetz, Rabbi Yossi left his partner. So that means that according to Rabbi Yossi, Mukadetz he holds like Rabbi Meir, that a Mukadetz he would be allowed to be Matami for. So how does he know that? Meaning, how does Rabbi Yossi know that a Mukadetz, a brother Cohen, can be Matami for her? So the Gemara says, because again, the Torah says that a sister is only excluded from her brother when she was with another man. Mukadetz, it was an accident. It was not a man that caused the rupturing of a Besulim. It was just was an accident. So the Ha'afikte, so the Gemara says, okay, but once again, we already darshan from that pasuk. So the Gemara says, "Chad milo haisa v'chad me leish." Okay, two separate drashas. The lo haisa, which excludes the arusa, and the leish means thing that mukadetz would be acceptable. And finally, last point of the brayso, "Ilah the rabbis abagares v'am Rabbi Shimon b'stula shlema mashma." So the Gemara says, remember that Rabbi Shimon said that the word b'stula means a b'stula shlema. And like we said in yesterday's daf, a bogeris, a woman above the age of 12 and a half, so she still has her besulim, but it's a little bit effaced. So she doesn't have her full besulim. And the Torah, when giving permission for a kohen to become a tami for a sister, says that her sister has to be a besula. And meanwhile, according to Rabbi Shimon, the definition of besula means full besulim, meaning a non-effaced besula. So how can then the Braisa conclude by saying that a kohen can be matami for his sister who's a bogeres, she doesn't have a quote-unquote full basulin. So, taimi didei nami hasa me'acha de darish achi. Midei alav l'rabos abogeres. Mechal de basula, basula shlema mashma. So the Gemara says, it's not a question, it's a complementary point. Meaning that this is exactly where Rabbi Shimon derives his position from. How does Rabbi Shimon know that the word basula by its very definition means a full basulim? So the Gemara says, it's from this exact position. Meaning that over here, what does the Torah say? A lav includes a bogeris. What does that mean? That there's the default setting is that she's excluded. Why is she excluded? Because she's not a full basula. Oh, that's exactly the point. Rabbi Shimon says, it's because the Torah excludes, or I should say, I'm sorry, includes the bogeris over here, that means that the default setting is that she should have been excluded. And why should she be excluded? Because she's not a full basula. Because the definition of basula means basula shlema, which once a woman gets to the stage of bagrus, does not have a basula shlema. Good. Okay. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of the discussion in the Gemara regarding the halacha of a kohen becoming mitami for his sister. So again, the points that are clear is that once she's married through nisuin, so then the kohen can no longer be mitami for her. His ability and right to be matami for her, his heter to be matami for her is only when she is a single. And then the discussion was, what if she's somewhere between being single and being married? Okay? She went through Erusin and Gerushin. Let's say she no longer has a basulin, she's nanas. Let's say she was seduced. Let's say she was mukareitz. So the Gemara goes over all those cases. Some of them are agreed upon, and some of them are debated. Okay, for the remainder of, not the remainder, but for a good next good part of today's daf, really yesterday's, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Shimon Bar Yochai, one of the more exciting figures that comes up in the Gemara. So we're going to be discussing him in the context of two heterim that he has. One heter will be essentially really the remainder of this Amud, and takes us a little bit into the next. And then there's a second heter, really having nothing to do with our topic of discussion. But first, let's learn the first heter of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Tanya. We are in Samach Amud Beis, about a third of the way down. The Gemara starts. Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Amar Giyos Pechuz Mibas Gimel Shom Nevi Yomecha Ksher LeKahuna. Okay. We've had a version of this conversation, of this discussion earlier in the Masechta, and that is the Giyoris. A Giyoris who undergoes a conversion after 3 years of age, which... Right. Let's just to make it simple. Let's say as an adult she decides to convert. So that's great. As like we discussed time and again, she's a full Jew with all rights and privileges of being a Jew. But in terms of who she can marry, so she's going to be a little bit limited. She can't marry a Kohen. She can't marry a Kohen. The simplest way to say it, and probably the most correct way to say it, is that in terms of a label, in terms of a status, she's assumed to be a Zona. Exactly what the parameters of a Zona are. So hopefully we'll get to that today. Meaning the Gemara in Samach Aleph Amud Beis is the main Gemara that discusses what exactly are the parameters and the definition of a Zona. But giving her that label of Zona, so then you understand. The Torah says that a Kohen is prohibited from marrying a Grusha, a Chalala, and a Zona. Okay, so if she undergoes a conversion as an adult or any time she's above the age of three, now again, why do we say three? Because we say time and again, right, one of the main points of Seder Nashim is that above 3 years of age, her Bia is considered a Bia. So therefore, even though, and again, obviously above the age of three, but before the age of 12, it's what we would call here in America statutory rape, and it's not, she's obviously not a willing participant, but like we learned the other day, and we're reiterating it today, when it comes to a woman vis-a-vis Kohen, Onis and Ratzon is not going to make a distinction. Meaning that the status of Zona is placed upon her. And even if we know that, let's say, above 3 years of age, she didn't engage in any type of relation, still, the above the age of three and she converts, so she has the status of a Zona. What if she converted below the age of three? This is open for debate. And we're going to start from the position of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, which is that if she converts below the age of three, so she does not have the status of Zona, and she would be muteris to marry a Kohen.
Because a Bia by her would not be considered a Bia.
That's the simplest way to explain it, yes.
Sorry, for a Jewish girl under three, have Bia somehow, that she would not be considered a Zona to a Kohen.
Right, same conclusion. Okay.
At that age, to even consider conversion?
The Gemara in Ksuvos in the beginning is the source that talks about children converting. Meaning children are converted, either they'll do it under the umbrella of their parents, or if they don't have parents, so then based on under certain circumstances will do so. But you're right, on their own. What's the mechanics behind it? So the simplest answer is Achla Adam Shelo Befanav. Okay, but there's a Tosfos over there in Tzuvos. Yes?
I'm going to discuss in Ketuvos in terms of parents converting, then the one younger than 3 years old is going to be converted automatically?
Yeah. Again, with the if the parents sponsor the conversion, then yes. The answer is yes. And and under certain circumstances, based in Ketuvos as well.
It might be the case like here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. So, Shimon Yochai Amar Giyot, So we're going to see a lot today from the episode regarding Midian. Okay, it's been a while since we did Parshas Pinchas. We're kind of like on the other half of the year in terms of Kriyas HaTorah. But Parshas Pinchas is where we engaged in war against Midian in the end of the previous Parsha. So the end of Parshas Balak. So that we were seduced by the Midianim, the Neshe Midian. So we went and we did battle. And the Torah goes on to describe that after the battle, we'll talk about it later this morning, nobody died in that battle, right? That's a simple pshat on the Psukim. We'll talk about that later this morning. But right now we're talking about who we brought back from the battle. And any young girls who did not know a man, biblically, so you could take him back, meaning that's okay. That you can bring back in. Now, the Gemara makes the obvious observation, which is that we know that one of the people who went out to war was Pinchas. Pinchas is a Kohen. So that means then that ostensibly, presumably, these girls who are below 3 years of age are mutter to kahuna. Now, v'rabanan. Now, if you don't have to agree with the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and the Gemara assumes that we know that the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So what are the Chachamim going to do with that pasuk? So the Gemara explains, v'rabanan lavadim v'lishfachos. The Chachamim will tell you, yeah, we took him back from war. That's true. Not for marriage. Right. In other words, they're going to work for us. They're going to be avadim, shvachos, but not marriage. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'm just curious. If you're right, so then why does the Torah describe them being taf, meaning really young children? Meaning if they're just shvachim, so I should say rather shvachos, so shouldn't it make a difference what age they are? So the Gemara says, "Kidravuna, Dravuna, Ramiksiv, Kalisha, Yodas, Ishla, Mishkav, Zachar, Harogu." So the Gemara says, "Well, there seems to be a discrepancy between the psukim. On one hand, one pasuk says that any woman who knew a man, so she was killed, and Ha'ino Yodas Kimo. So that means that if she didn't know a man, then she was allowed to live. Mechlada Tav Ben Yadu Ben La Yadu Kimo." But it sounds like that's only regarding women. But if we're talking about taf, if we're talking about exceedingly young girls, so then it wouldn't matter. So the Gemara says, but on the other hand, the pasuk says that even when it comes to taf, the distinction is whether they knew or did not know a man. So hayad harogu, and it sounds like that if they knew a man, so then they also were not going to survive. So so therefore, by noting the discrepancy between these two psukim, so the conclusion is that if they were uyali ba'el, meaning it's not a function of whether they did or did not know a man, it's just a function of whether they're at least within the potential of quote-unquote knowing a man, meaning that their bia is considered a bia. So if that's true, so then they're not going to survive. If they're below that, so then they would survive. Tanya Nami Achi, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, that's going to make exactly this point. The pasuk is describing not a woman who actually knew a man, but Ruya. So So the Gemara says, how do you know that? So So the Gemara says that we're describing Ruya li ba'el. The pasuk seems to indicate that that's so. Okay. Good. So, Mina Yad A. So the Gemara says, now, if you are of the position that they actually knew whether the women did or did not know a man, so how exactly would they know that? Am Rav Huna Bar Bizna, Am Rav Yishim Chasida, Evim Lefnei Atzitz. So the Gemara says, well, there is a way of testing to see whether or not they did or did not know a man. And that is, they walked in front of the tzitz. Tzitz of the one of the big day kahuna, the headband that's worn by the Kohen Gadol. Kol shepaneh marikos biyadushu rui li ba'el. Kol she'ein paneh marikos biyadushu ein rui li ba'el. So the Gemara says, well, mina yadu is not whether they did or did not know a man. Okay, right. It's whether, or it's how old they are. Right, whether they're old enough to know a man. I'm sorry, because we're working within the assumption of Ru'ui Liba. So the Gemara says, well, okay, the tzitz. So the Gemara, and now it's interesting. If you take a look at Rashi over here, so Rashi, it's a short Rashi. So Rashi says, Paneh Amorikos, their face would kind of sink. So Rashi says, Nes Haya. So Rashi says that was a miracle. Meaning, we'll be clear about this point in just a moment, meaning that if a woman actually had beer with a man, So there's some sort of physical change within her complexion. Okay. Not that I can testify this or can give you empirical evidence that this is so, but this is one of the assumptions that the Gemara makes, is that the woman, once a woman knows a man, so then it can be shown in her complexion. The miracle that occurs over here is that when a woman is fit, when she's ra'i for bia, so they passed in front of the tzitz and the tzitz, and then she demonstrated those very same simonim. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Sima La'Avera Hidarkon. Rav Nachman says that if you want to see whether or not a person engaged in Avera, the Gemara, whenever the Gemara says the word Avera and gives no other definition, it means Avera of Znus, of illicit relations. So if you want to see whether or not a person was involved in Znus, so Hidarkon. Hidarkon, it's an ailment that the Gemara describes again and again. Rashi over here, which I totally follow, because he's explaining the Gemara in the context of the Gemara, Rashi writes, Penem shel ovre avera morikan. Again, something to do with the face kind of sinking. Okay, I'm not exactly clear what we're describing over here, but okay. Morikan may be also from the word yarok, meaning like a yellowish, greenish complexion to the face. Anyway, kayotze badavra ata omer. Okay, so again, what we just discovered in the Gemara is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that when you have a Gioris who converts below the age of 3 years of age, so that means that her Bia is not a Bia, she's not Ru'uya Labia, and therefore she's allowed to marry a Kohen. The evidence that he brings to support this position is from the Milchemes Midyan, where the women who came back from Midyan, the Torah describes that the Taf, who came back from the war, as long as they were below the age of Bia, so then they could be taken back, not for avadim shvachos, but rather for the purposes of marriage. How do you know exactly how old they were? So the Gemara says that there was a miracle that demonstrated that they were below the age of three.
It wasn't Esha
Yufa Torah? No, meaning Esha Sufas Torah. I know we had this discussion earlier. Is an Esha Sufas Torah allowed to marry a Kohen? Or let me say it better. Is a Kohen allowed to marry an Esha Sufas Torah? So the Gemara says, the simplest answer is no. Because the Bia Rishon is permissible, but the Bia Shnia and beyond is not permissible. Okay. So the... Pinchas went to war, so... right? There's some Kohanim who do go out to battle. Okay, let's go on. Another place we're going to find this is at the end of Sefer Shoftim. The end of Sefer Shoftim. So there is the Pelagish Begeva as the last three prakim of Shoftim, prakim Yutes Chaf and Chaf Aleph. So the Gemara over here is at the very end. V'yimtzum yashvei yavish galad arbe meos naros besolosa shelo yadu ish lemishkav zachar. So 400 women were quote unquote discovered, so that it would be this was after truce and the Sheva Binyamin was allowed to marry within the Jewish people, but there were still 400 that were found. And 400 women who were found who were Shelo Yadu Leish. No men knew them. So Minay Yaden, and once again, the Gemara wants to know, how do they know? Amrav Kahano, Shivim Api Chavis Shel Yain. So the Gemara over here goes over a test. The test is going to sound strange to you and I. It's not the first time in the Gemara that we've heard of such a test. So they put him on a barrel of wine. Ba'ula Recha Nodev, Pesulein Recha Nodev. And the Ba'ula, so the breath has got... It was like one of the original breathalyzer tests. So the ba'ula, so she, you're going to be able to smell it on her, and the basula, no. Okay, can we understand this physiologically, anatomically? Probably not, but again, that doesn't matter. In other words, there was a way to test. So when Avrina Lefnei Tzitz, Gemara just wonders, why didn't we use the same test that was used by Moshe and Minjan? So I'm Rav Kahana, Bered, Rav Nasson, L'Ratzon, L'Hem Ksiv, L'Ratzon, L'Lupranios. No, the test can only be used L'Ratzon. It could be used for positive, not for negative. So the Gemara says, Yachi B'Minjan Ami. So the Gemara says, okay, but I'm a little bit confused because by Minjan, what was the test? So anyone who passed the test, so good, so they were able to live, but anyone who didn't pass the test, so they were put to death. So the Gemara says, "I'm Ravashi lahem tziv lahem laratzim ulo lepranius ulo avdi kochav mafil lepranius." So the Gemara says, "No. As far as it says, as it relates to the Jewish people, they can only be used latova for the Goyim, for the avdi kochavim. So the tzitz can be used and in either direction. Okay. Amar Rav Yaakov b'idi Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi Halacha k'Rav Shimon b'Yochai. Okay, and now what's the halacha? So again, now we have a very basic machlokas, whether a girl who converts below the age of 3 years of age, whether she can marry a kohen. Rav Shimon bar Yochai says yes. The Chachamim disagree. Who does the halacha follow like? So the Gemara says, halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Amalei Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Yaakov b'ida b'fer shmi halacha mechlal shmi halach. So the Gemara says, now, when you heard the halacha being touted as going in accordance with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, was that explicitly stated, or did you just hear a story, not a story, but an anecdote, an episode, and are you basing this from an anecdote? My klala, the Amr of Yeshua ben Levi, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you, it's actually based on an anecdotal story, an episode, where Rav Yeshua ben Levi said, Irachas Eisa Beret Yisrael, Shekara Allah Irar, there was a city in Eretz Yisrael. They called into question the pedigree of the people living in that city. Vishar Rebbe is Rabbi Ramanus, Ubatka Matzaba, Baski Oros Pchusimivas, Gimel Shanim V'yom Echad. So Rebbe sent Rabbi Ramanus. Yeah, I don't know who he is. He doesn't come up that often in the Gemara, but basically Rebbe sent an emissary to research him. He did find somebody who was quote-unquote questionable, where in that town there was one convert who was married to a Kohen, but she converted below the age of 3 years of age. So v'hichshiru Rebbe l'kohuna. So Rebbe said, okay, well, they're married already. So Rebbe said, you know what? Okay, they could stay married. So from that episode, what does that seem to indicate? It's pretty clear from that episode that halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. That if a woman converts below the age of 3, so she can marry a Kohen.
But he's like saying,
Yilchat Fulim, isn't that just... Amar Lei, excellent. Amar Lei, Beferish Me'ali. So he says to him, I'm not basing my conclusion based on this one episode. I heard it explicitly that the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. V'imichlala my, because Dilma Shani Asam, all the Insev Insev. If all I had was that anecdote, was that episode, so then I would have said, just like Ben said, that no, that over there Rebbe was Mako because they were already married. But not like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says that lichatchila, a convert who converts below the age of 3 is allowed to lichatchila marry a Kohen. So Avdaha Rav, Rav Yochanan, Rav Tavaya, Bogar, Samukas, Eitz, Lo Yisamim, Masa Nasui. Remember, we saw this in yesterday's daf, according to Rav and Rav Yochanan, when you have a woman who's either Bogar or Samukas, Eitz, she shouldn't marry a Kohen Gadol, but if married, then the marriage can remain. So you see that there's clearly a distinction in halacha between Lechatchila versus Bidiyavid. So maybe over here, same thing. So the Gemara says, wow, I don't see that comparison at all. Hachi hashta. Bishlamasim Safalios Bagars Tahta Safalios Bula Tahtav. No. In the case of the Bogaris and the Kohen Gadol, or the Mukadates and the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says there, like we said yesterday, we made this exact same argument yesterday. I understand that Lichatchila he shouldn't marry her because she's not a Bistula. But on the other hand, if he does marry her, so the marriage can remain. But I understand that because look, eventually she's going to become a Bogaris. Eventually she will lose her Bistulim, because he's going to be with her. So there, I can understand there's latitude, there's room to be Mako, because anyway, those are stages of life that she's going to experience while being married to him. But here, Sofali Ozona Tachtav, but over here, if you take the position that a Gioris is not allowed to marry a Kohen, even if she converts below the age of 3, why not? So like we said, because she's a Zona. She has the status of a Zona. So if that's true, so then there shouldn't be a difference between Lichatchila and Bidiyavid. A Zona is a Zona. And a Kohen's prohibited to marry a Zona. So, no, even if all I had was the episode, was the anecdote, I still could have concluded that we're passing like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And it's not a distinction of Bidiyavid versus Lichatchila. We make those distinctions when we're talking about Bogeris or Mukadates, not about Zona. So the Gemara and the Gemara points out that Rav Masna actually Rav Safra, all he had was the story that we just went over about Rabbi Romanus, and the town, and there was a Kohen married to Gioris, and he said that the marriage can remain. And he thought to himself, yeah, but that's just an anecdote. And then he concluded, no, it's not just an anecdote. That actually, if she was prohibited, so then Rebbe would have forced the divorce. Okay.
Don't
so
we give a lot of weight to anecdotes like that in the past? Like
correct. No, that's exactly what Rebbe Safra just did. He did just give a lot of weight to this anecdote. Okay, so to the question of, can a Gioris marry a Kohen? So once again, now we have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai saying yes. Again, if she converts below the age of 3. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai saying yes. We now have Rabbi in agreement with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Safra also arrived at the conclusion. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi arrives at that conclusion as well. Wait. I know. I saw that coming. So, ha'u kahana de'intiv gyaris p'chuz me'ba shalom v'yamechan. So the Gemara ends up this entire discussion with the following. If all we had was the Gemara up until this point in time, sounds like from the Gemara that it would be, the halacha would be muteris. Muter. Okay? But we have two more lines of Gemara. Okay. Hahu kahane de instiv gyaris p'chuz me'ba shalom v'yamechan. Okay, so the Gemara relates now that there was a Kohen married convert. She converted below the age of 3 years of age. Amar le Rabbi Gamliel bar Yitzchak mai hai. So Rabbi Gamliel, Rav Nah, thank you. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, what's going on over here? Amar le da Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi Amar Yeshua ben Levi Alach Yerushim Amar Yochai. So what does he do? He quotes Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that the Alach in fact falls like Yerushim Amar Yochai. Amar le zil apik. Okay, Eddie, this is the halacha. Right, zil apik. So he says you have to divorce her. And the ilo mafik del chav rav yoka bar idim yunech, a common expression used in the Gemara. He says, and if you don't divorce her, I'm going to remove rav yakov bar idim from your vocabulary. Basically, Rashi says klamar misham tinan lach b'tapik akarcha. Right, we'll put you in chayra, meaning. We don't, in this regard, we don't follow like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay.
But what happened?
Not what happened, meaning that the Gemara, I know, in terms of real estate, it seems to be a little bit unfair. In terms of real estate, the Gemara dedicated a lot of time to explaining the position of Shimon Bar Yochai, defending the position. Rebbe agrees with him, meaning the Gemara spent a lot of time.
Based
on the fact that the Chachamim argue with Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is a das yachid. He's a singular opinion over here.
So why Rabbi?
Good. That's a good question, and that I don't have a good answer for. Okay. So, in other words, agreed. Totally understand. But the Chachamim argue with Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and okay.
That's the halacha.
Okay. So the Tanya. The Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer. And here we are now turning to today's daf. Today's daf is Samech Aleph, and we're up to now the second heter today of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Unrelated, but it's a heter of Shimon Bar Yochai, and that is as follows. We have a major machlokus between the Tanaim. Actually, you're seeing it right here. You don't have to. You don't need any bekias, and that is as follows. We know human remains give off tumah in one of three ways: maga masa noho. Right, if you have the remains of a human body, so touching, contact, is a transmission of tumah. Masa, carrying, even if you don't touch, a transmission of tumah. Ohel, either being under the same roof or hovering over the human remains, is also going to be give off tumah as well. These three transmissions of tumah as it relates to human remains is clear and unequivocally true when the human remains are that of a Jew. What if it's human remains of a non-Jew? It is a major machlokus amongst the Tanaim whether there's tumas ohel as it relates to the human remains of a non-Jew. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that there is no tumas ohel when it comes to the human remains of a non-Jew. The Gemara right here, today's daf, the Gemara says that even according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the remains still give off tumas maga and tumas masa, but do not give off tumas ohel for reasons which the Gemara is going to explain in just a moment.
Rashi says, "Ein hamahil aleihem." That's only in that situation.
No, it's all forms of ohel, but Rashi is just giving a scenario in which you are actually hovering over. But it would be true, presumably, ostensibly, would be true by any form of OL. Okay. The and not everyone agrees with the Rishonim and Bar Yochai, and the other Tanaim argue. So once again, here's another place in Halacha Rishonim and Bar Yochai is Mekel. So Kivrei Ov De Kocham Tapa Samach Aleph Amud Aleph. Kivrei Ov De Kocham Ein Matam In Ba'ol Shenemar Vatem Tzon Eat Tzon Marisi Adam. So quoting a pasuk from Yechezkel, I know it's enough. It's not a pasuk in the Chumash, but you are my flock. You are my Adam. Now we know where's Tumas Ohel found in the Torah? Parshas Chukas. How is the Torah described Tumas Ohel? Adam ki yamus ba'ohel. When an Adam dies. So Atem Kruyim Adam, Veino of Dekochem Kruyim Adam. Not to take the Gemara out of context. The Gemara over here is speaking in a very limited sense regarding Adam as it relates to Tumas Ohel. It means that vis-a-vis Tumas Ohel, so we're given the status of Adam, but of the Kochavim don't have the status of Adam, and therefore are not subject to, or don't give off Tumas Ohel. Atem Kriyim Adam, and of the Kochavim Kriyim Adam. Next for the Gemara challenges, V'nefesh Adam Shishasar Elef. So the Gemara says, okay, we go back to Midyan. What does the Torah describe in Midyan? So, Nefesh Adam, this is talking about the people we brought back from the war, Shishasar Elef. 16,000. Okay, so and that's talking about the Midyanim, and the Torah uses the word Adam over there. So the Gemara says no, Mishum Behema. No, Adam wasn't the definition. It's just simply a contrasting point, meaning that when we went came back from war, we brought animal, we brought people back from the war. So just as a contrast between animal and people, so there the word Adam is used, but not to define. Asher Yesh Baharbe Mishtei Mesrei Ribu Adam Asher LeYada Ben Yimino LeSmano. So the Gemara quotes the end of Sefer Yonah, where the, again, regarding the Anshei Ninveh, the Navi uses the word Adam. Again, Mishum Behema. The Gemara says, again, same point, to contrast, not to define. V'chol horig nefesh v'chol nogeh b'chalal tizchatau. So the Gemara says, okay, you know, when we came back from the war, so you know what happened? We needed tahara. Anyone who came into contact with a dead body, so we needed tahara. So the dead body's out in the war. Who died? The Midyanim. Did any Jew die in war?
No.
The simple answer is no. And so what does it say? What does that indicate? It indicates that even though we came into contact with Midyanim, we're Tame. Doesn't that pose a problem to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai?
So,
yeah, the Gemara and Shabbos, right? Very good. That is, right. But from the pasuk, it sounds like the kol horeg nefesh, meaning it's because they came into contact with nefesh. So dilma ikto chad mi Yisrael. So the Gemara says, well, maybe one of the Jews died. So the Gemara says, v'rabbanan lo nifkad mi menuish. Now the Chachamim's counter argument is, what do you mean? How could you say that? The pasuk says nobody died. So v'rabbi Shimon bar Yochai lo nifkad mi menuish la'aveira. No, very interesting. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, no, don't take the pasuk literally. It doesn't mean that nobody died. What the pasuk means is that nobody succumbed to sin. Lo nifkad nimenu ish, the word nifkad in this context means, according to Rishon Bar Yochai, right? Why do we go out to the war to Midyanim? Because previously they seduced the Jewish people. All the soldiers who went out to war against the Midyanim, none of them were seduced. That's how Rabbi Shimon Malakish understands the pasuk, meaning that there were Jews who died. And what Moshe was telling them when they came back from war is that if you came into contact with a soldier who unfortunately died, meaning a Jewish soldier, so then you needed tahara. Ravina Amar Nehi de Ma'atina Karab mi Atmuye Ba'ol Dechsev Adam Kimos Ba'ol mi Mago Masa mi Ma'atina Karab. And Ravashi gives a very simple solution to the problem, which is that let's go with the simple pshat, which is that no Jew died. Lo nifkad mi menuish, no Jew died. Why then do we need a tahara? If you subscribe to the viewpoint of Rosh Hashanah Bar Yochai, they don't give off Tumas Ohel, the solution's really simple.
But they touch them, they swore.
Correct. The solution's very simple. They don't give off Tumas Ohel, but they still give off Tumas Mag, and they still give off Tumas Masa. So that means then that even though you don't have to be mahil over the body, and even if you are, you're not going to become Tameh, but if you touch a dead body of a non-Jew, you're going to become Tameh. Even Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai agrees to that as well. here too, Eddie, you want to ask me what the halacha is regarding Tumas, regarding Kivrei of the Kochavim, right? It comes up so many times in halacha, right? Can a Kohen? We have Rabbi Dr. Shabtai. He wrote the book on this. But can a Kohen go into a hospital, right, a non-Jewish hospital? So can a Kohen go into a non-Jewish cemetery? So can we rely upon the opinion of Shimon Bar Yochai? So the answer is the Shulchan Aruch says it should be avoided, meaning because again this is something where the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and so there's room to be makel, but should be for Kohanim, it should be avoided. Okay. Interesting. Two times where Shimon Yochai has a terim, and the first time we don't follow him. The second time, we try to avoid following him. Okay. Ires es ha'amana.
These are not exceptions. I mean, Chachamim always
rule, right? Right. Correct. Okay. We start the next Mishnah. Ires es ha'amana. Okay. This should sound familiar. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. A Kohen Hejot. Is Mekadesh an Amana widow? Perfectly legitimate. He's allowed to. And it's nominally as Kohen Gadol. And then he got an appointment. He got a tap on the shoulder. We'd like you to become the Kohen Gadol. Yechnos. So he's allowed to marry his wife. Even though a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Amana. But over here, though, everything was legitimate. He was Mekadesh when he was the Kohen Hejo. And he can stay with her and consummate the marriage even after he got his appointment of Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara tells the story of Yeshua ben Gamla, who was Mekadesh Marta Bas Baitus, Ominua Melch Leos Kohen Gadol, the Kansa, and appointed her. Sorry. Him. And you'll see why I made that mistake in just a moment. And appointed him Kohen Gadol, and he remained with her, even though she was a widow. Shemar Sefer Shanafel Lifnei Kohen Hejot. V'nim Snam Liyos Kohen Gadol Afa Pisha Seba Maimer Havizelo Yichnos. What an interesting contrast. However, if a Kohen Hejot, let's say, has a Yavama, she's a Shomeris Yavam, she's waiting for one of her brothers to do the mitzvah of Yibam, and this Kohen then gets an appointment to become the Kohen Gadol. So now, why not? Why not perform the mitzvah of Yibam? Answer, he cannot. He's a Kohen Gadol. He can't marry no money, can't marry a widow. Oh, what do you mean? But and the Mishnah says that even if he did Mimer, he still can't do the mitzvah of Yibam. All right, very interesting contrast. But if you think about it, the contrast makes sense, because when a Kohen's Mekadesh woman, they are actually married. It's not that there's a potential marriage over there; they're actually married. Masha Ein Kein, when it comes to Shemar Yavam. So I know we spent a good part of our Masechta. Right, we spent a good part of a Masechta talking about how it's a quasi-marriage. It's kind of like they're married. Right, there's a Zika, there's a Mimer. When all said and done, they're not married. Okay, there's a mitzvah for them to get married, but they're not married. So once he gets an appointment for the Kohen Gadol, so then it cannot be Meyabimer, because that would be a new marriage to an Amana.
In that case,
excellent. Thinking is right on the money. Stay tuned. Not get chalitza. Tana Rabbanim Minayin Shem Yireses Amana Benisnan Liyos Kohen Gadol Sheyichnos Tamalam Yikach Isha. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes a drasha, Yikach Isha, meaning that he takes a wife, meaning that the marriage already occurred. Yikach Isha Meres Yavam Nami Isha Velo Yavama. So the Gemara says Yikach Isha, meaning he could take his wife into the Kohen Gadol office, but not the Shemaris Yavam. And again, the reason why is because Shemaris Yavam is not his wife. Quasi-married, right? Zika, Mimer, etc., 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 but it's not his wife. Okay. Maisa B'Yoshua, Manoin Nisnamolo. The Gemara over here makes a fascinating distinction. Right? I wonder this all the time. How does a Kohen Gadol become a Kohen Gadol? Meaning, who taps him on the shoulder? The Gemara over here says that there are actually two different avenues in terms of how a Kohen Gadol gets that position. Either he is minahu, meaning he's appointed. The king decides this man's going to become the Kohen. This Kohen's going to become the Kohen Gadol, or nismaneh. What does nismaneh mean? He was voted in. Interesting. Gemara assumes that both of these are two legitimate ways for a Kohen to become a Kohen Gadol. Either an appointment by the king or a democratic vote done by the other Kohanim. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah is describing where the king appointed him, not where he was voted in by others. And what's the difference? A king's appointment probably was a bribe. A democratic vote by the Kohanim means it was a meritocracy. He probably deserved it. And the Gemara says, "I'm Rav Yosef Katuka Chazina Cha'acha." Rav Yosef says, "I am very suspicious in our Mishnah, meaning the Amar Avasi Tarkava Didinari Aile Be Marta Bas Maitas Lianai Malka. Marta Bas Baitas actually paid Yanai Hamelech a lot of money in order to install her husband as the Kohen Gadol. Ad Demuki Leile Yeshua Ben Gamla Bekohani Ravave, so that Yeshua Ben Gamla would in fact serve as the Kohen Gadol. So basically, his wife, even though she was a widow, nevertheless paid for his appointment. Just one,
huh?
Right, correct. And he, right. In other words, and the halach is he going to bring her in? It just happens to be that our Mishnah is describing where there was a bribe that took place. Now, mind you, by the way, one last point I mentioned today: Yehoshua ben Gamla. Name should sound familiar, right? In other words, the Gemara in Baba Basra says that he was the one who first came up with this idea of public schooling. Right, he right. Public schooling meaning schooling funded by the public in order to give a Jewish education to Jewish children. So, and Tosis over here is wondering out loud, is this the same Yehoshua ben Gamla as mentioned in Baba Basra? Because it's hard to conflate the two Gemaras. Our Gemara makes it sound like he wasn't the greatest. The Gemara Baba Basra gives him tremendous praise for his action. So that part is a little confusing.